subheading. And 7,000 persons were killed by the earthquake. Revelation 11, 13 through 14 continues. And in that hour, a great earthquake occurred, and a tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 persons were killed by the earthquake, and the rest became frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Look, the third woe is coming quickly. In the time of Elijah, Jehovah informed his prophet that there were 7,000 men who had not bent their knee in homage to Baal or kissed his disgusting idol. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul referred to the account of Elijah and the 7,000 and applied it to what he called the remnant of Israel, which at that time included non-Jewish Christians. Hence, the 7,000 represented a remnant of spiritual Israel, as Paul interpreted it under inspiration. The 7,000 in Revelation similarly must represent the anointed remnant left behind after the resurrection commences. Those who do not bend their knee to the image of the beast or receive its mark during the concluding judgment phase. The sacred secret of God is that the 7,000 are the individual brothers of Christ that will serve as the composite two witnesses during the coming parousia, after their being sealed. Revelation 11:13 indicates that the deaths of the 7,000 coincides with the death and resurrection of the two witnesses by saying, "In that hour." This signifies that the wild beast kills the remaining sons of the kingdom after it arises from the abyss. The 20th chapter confirms that the remaining sons of the kingdom are destined to be executed with the axe for giving witness to God and Christ during that critical time and for refusing to receive the mark of the beast. What does the city represent, a tenth of which also falls as a result of the great earthquake? A city is mentioned three times within the context of the 11th chapter of Revelation. The holy city is referred to in the second verse as being trampled upon by the nations for 42 months. Also, the two witnesses are killed in the great city where Christ was also impaled, which was also the literal holy city of Jerusalem. There is, therefore, no contextual basis for the watchtower's claim that the city represents sinful Christendom. It is evident that the context of the vision dictates that the tenth of the city that falls represents God's holy city, which is heavenly Jerusalem, as represented on earth by the holy ones. But what is represented by the one-tenth? The book of Zechariah contains a parallel prophecy that aids in deciphering Revelation. Zechariah 14, 1 through 3 states, "Look, there is a day coming belonging to Jehovah, and the spoil of you will certainly be apportioned out in the midst of you. And I shall certainly gather all the nations against Jerusalem for the war, and the city will actually be captured, and the houses be pillaged, and the women themselves will be raped, and half of the city must go forth into the exile. But as for the remaining ones of the people, they will not be cut off from the city, and Jehovah will certainly go forth and war against those nations as in the day of his warring, in the day of fight." Zechariah's prophecy reveals that the nations warring against Jerusalem initiates God's war against them, exactly as is also described in the 11th chapter of Revelation. It is apparent that Jerusalem relates to Christ's kingdom. In what sense, though, might half of the city go into exile while the remaining ones of the people are not cut off from the city? Since the Jerusalem above is represented on earth by the anointed remnant, their being killed by the nations brings about their instantaneous resurrection into the heavenly kingdom. Hence, the remaining ones are not cut off from the holy city, since they have a place reserved for them in the city above. Those who are killed join the already resurrected holy ones in heaven to complete the new Jerusalem. That is why, following the pillaging of the holy city and the evident martyrdom of the earthly sons of the kingdom, Zechariah 14:5 says, "And Jehovah my God will certainly come, all of the holy ones being with him." All the holy ones being with him denotes that all of the 144,000 are with Jehovah when he comes to finish off the nations at the war of Armageddon, none of them remaining on the earth. Therefore, half of the city that goes into exile symbolizes the earthly congregation of the great crowd that is left behind after the last of the remnant have departed to the city above. Thus, the appointed times of the nations to trample upon God's kingdom terminate when there is no longer any portion of the Jerusalem above represented upon the earth below. So, the tenth of the city in Revelation symbolizes the earthly realm of the kingdom that falls during the final attack of Gog, which is the great earthquake that occurs when the 7,000 sons of the kingdom abandon their earthly estate to take up residence in the heavenly New Jerusalem. The rest, who became frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven, can only bespeak of the great crowd of earthly survivors who will be witnesses to the awe-inspiring events during the culmination. They will be the only humans on earth that will give glory to God. Appropriately, immediately after the death and resurrection of God's two anointed witnesses, the seventh angel blows his trumpet, and the 24 heavenly elders praise God, saying, "We thank you, Jehovah God, the Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and begun ruling as king." Jehovah's kingship is expressed through the messianic kingdom. When the remaining ones have all been lifted up to heaven and seated upon their thrones next to Jesus, then it can be said that Jehovah himself has become king. Then will come the fullest expression of the kingdom's power as it annihilates all earthly kingdoms in its realm. The last verse in the 11th chapter of Revelation reveals the Ark of His covenant in heaven, in His temple sanctuary. That would seem to symbolize that the new covenant, which is intended to produce a kingdom of heavenly priests, had been accomplished with the killing of God's two witnesses and the 7,000 and their being called to heaven.